you, ladies, for that special this morning. It was along with our message. John chapter 8 is where we're going to be this morning. If you turn your Bibles there with me, please. John chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 19. Actually, more of the chapter as well. By the way, I did, as far as the annual meeting, I did put out on the foyer a copy of the proposed budget. So please feel free to pick up one of those, look that over. If you have any questions, you can ask those next week at our meeting. So John chapter 8, heard this quote several weeks ago, and it really stuck with me. It said, the only thing the world knows about Christ is what is manifested in his body. Let me share that in a more practical way. We say we know each other. Say, you know me. You look in my eyes, and if I come and look at you with glaring eyes, you say, well, he's angry. Or if I come with you in sympathetic eyes, you think, well, he understands what I'm going through. Or if I come with tears in my eyes, say, he's grieving. Or if I use my hands to do things that help, if I use my hands to do things that will meet needs and will go along and step alongside someone, it says something about me. You develop things in your mind that help you to see he's like this. But if I use my hands to do things, to break down things and to do things that are violent, to do things that don't help you, you begin to develop pictures in your mind and things of what I'm like. If you see me in the community and you see me going places that are not honoring to God, you begin to get a picture of who I really am, my character. If you hear me talk in my conversation and I'm saying things that are building people up, trying to do things to encourage people, you get a picture of who I am. My conduct, the way I dress, if I dress sloppily, if I dress don't care about, if I don't care how I look, begin to develop things in your mind about me. And the only thing the world knows about Christ is what is manifested in his body. I want to ask you the question this morning, do you know the Father? And I want to tie that in with this passage in John chapter 8 and explain a little bit what that means. John chapter 8 verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come, and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here together this morning to worship you in song and in giving and in spending time in your word. Father, I pray that you would open our spiritual understanding this morning to help us understand the truths of this passage and how important it is for us to know the Father and how we can do that. Father, I pray you'd help me be clear and accurate in what I say. Help my thoughts to be focused on your word this morning. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified. I pray that we would be encouraged and challenged through what we hear this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does that mean? The only thing the world knows about Christ is what is manifested in his body. You see, no man has seen God. yet the Bible tells us and describes him to us. No one within our lifetime has seen Jesus Christ, but there is a way for us to show people what he is like. My dad passed away about 5 years ago. None of you have ever met my dad, but I could sit there and I can describe to you what my dad looked like. I could describe to you what kind of person he was. And as I described that to him to you, you could kind of get a little bit of a picture in your mind of what my dad was like. Now, you wouldn't know him like I knew him, but I could describe him to you. I could kind of help you understand what he was like. What if I wanted to introduce to you my Heavenly Father? I could use words like loving, gracious, long-suffering, kind, just, holy, all-powerful, and I could go on and on with descriptive words of my Heavenly Father. And you would still just have a rough picture in your mind of my Heavenly Father. What does Jesus say in verse 19? If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. The best way for us to tell people about our Heavenly Father is to live a life that is an accurate representation of who he is. For example, if I want to help people see that God is a loving God, I need to demonstrate that by my love for them. I need to show God's love toward them. If I want to portray God as gracious, I need to be gracious, and so on, in the way that we demonstrate who God is. If I tell someone that I'm a Christian and I act like the ungodly around me, if I spend my time in worldly entertainment, if I respond in anger when things don't go the way I think they should, if the focus of my activities is on myself, am I really demonstrating that I'm a Christian? No, I'm not. Whether we realize it or not, the world has a definition of what a Christian is, and I believe most people think that the definition of what a Christian is different than what they are. They realize a Christian is to be different. People paint a picture in their mind's eye of what a God is like by looking at those who call themselves followers of God or believers in God. And people will say, well, your God is like this because that's what you're like. And that's why it's so important for my life to be lived according to the principles of God's word, so that the people around me who do not know God will get a more accurate picture of what God is like. So how is it that Christ was able to say in John 14:8, he that has seen me has seen the Father? Because Christ was an accurate representation of the Father. And the word Father, interestingly enough, is used 21 times just in this passage alone, just in chapter 8 alone. The word Father is used 21 times. Jesus Christ considered his relationship and portrayal of the Father to be very important. He rebukes the Jews in verse 44 because they were acting like their father. He says in verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What a condemnation. What a reproof. They were acting like their father. So how do we show people who our spiritual father is? How do we show people that we know the Father? By showing them Jesus Christ. Showing them Christ in our lives. How do we do that? Again, by living a life that parallels the life that Christ lived while he was here on this earth. And there are 10 things in this passage that show us that were true of Christ and how he demonstrated that he knew the Father and had been sent by the Father. And these 10 things can be true in our lives as well if we're going to show others who our spiritual father is. Now, we're going to not get through all 10 this morning. We're going to go through half of them this morning, and then we're going to go through the other half this evening. But I want to share with you those things that are indicators of how we can say we know the Father. The first one is righteous judgment, verses 15 and 16. Now, Jesus had just said again, he said, I am the light of the world. And they said, how can you say that? But if we back up to verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. And then he says here in verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. The book of Proverbs is full of contrasts, but one of the most significant contrasts in that book is the contrast between a fool and a wise man. What's the difference? Fool is someone who is making judgments based on his own understanding, while a wise man will make judgment based on the knowledge and understanding that God gives in his word. That's the difference. A fool does it on his own knowledge. A wise man does it on God's knowledge, on God's principles. When Samuel went to seek a king from the sons of Jesse, he went and he began looking for a king, and he began looking at Jesse's sons, starting at the oldest. What was the problem there? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, for God seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Samuel had to get his perspective changed. Samuel had to get his point of judgment changed. One of the ways that Christ was showing that he knew the Father was in his judgment of others. And when they brought that woman who had been taken in adultery to Jesus, they were trying to trip him up by forcing him to make a judgment in that situation. Jesus turned the tables on them by his response. What was the difference here? The Pharisees, they came with no spiritual insight at all. They were only set on what they wanted to accomplish. They were only set on what their agenda was. They wanted to destroy Christ. They wanted to destroy his ministry. They wanted to discredit him in every way. They were judging after the flesh, according to their sin nature. And Jesus knew what they were up to, and he responded with spiritual wisdom and caused them to walk away. He says in verse 16, "If I judge, my judgment is true." And I believe the judgment of the thing that he wrote on the ground that day in front of those men was showing that his judgment was true. And it convicted their hearts and they walked away. Jesus tells them in verse 15, he's talking to these Jews. He says, "I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true." Jesus didn't come to be a judge at the time. He's not a judge. He didn't come here to judge men. He came to save the world, provide salvation. But if he had come to judge, his judgment would be accurate. His judgment would be right. Why? Because his judgment was not based solely on himself. It was based on his Father. It was founded in his Father. In verse 16, I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. He says, I've got the Father backing me up on this one. My judgment is just. My judgment is right because it's from the Father. He knew his Father. So the first way that we can show who our spiritual father is, that we know the Father, would be by making decisions based on God's wisdom and not on our own. The second indication that we know the Father is our witness. In verse 18, it says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now this could be twofold. It could be the witness of our mouth telling others that we are a Christian, but it can also be the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who testifies of our life in Christ by his work on our life through a surrendered life. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. And by the fact that we show that in our lives, Jesus points out that even the Pharisees knew that the testimony of two men was true or established according to the law. They knew Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, where it says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity." You see, when they brought a man before the judge, it wasn't enough that they just had one witness. They need to have at least two, if not three, witnesses to speak against that man. It says, for any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. And so Jesus says, I witness of myself, but the Father also witnesses of me. And Jesus Christ testified to the fact that he was the Messiah, but his Father also testified at his baptism. His Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son." His Father was testifying of who he was. Also, the works that Jesus did testified of him. In fact, Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." What was Nicodemus saying? Saying, "Jesus, your works are showing that you know the Father. The works are showing that you're from the Father." And so Jesus had his own witness. Jesus had the Father's witness. Jesus had the witness of his works, showing that he was of the Father. We can say that we are Christians, but if our lives don't back it up, people have a hard time believing that we really are. The third indication that we know the Father is speaking the truth. In verse 26, Jesus is talking again. He says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. See, Jesus Christ came from God, but the Pharisees weren't willing to accept that. They struggled with it. They fought against that. They weren't willing to accept that he was the Messiah. But regardless of the fact that they wouldn't accept him as the Messiah, it didn't change the facts. He was the Messiah. Perhaps one reason why they didn't like to hear what Jesus was saying was because they knew he was right. It convicted their conscience. It convicted them. He was speaking the truth, and they knew it. They knew everything he said backed up with the law, with what Scripture said. But they weren't willing to accept that. Acts chapter 7, let me read for you that passage. Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 53. Stephen is standing before the religious council, and he testifies against them. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. He says, men, this is what you're like. This is what you've done. And he rebukes them. He testifies against them. He speaks the truth of what has happened. Notice their response in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. What was the final result? They took him outside and stoned him to death. What happened when Jesus spoke the truth to the religious Jews? It says every time they became more intent on killing him, became more intent in getting rid of him and destroying him. What was the final result? They crucified him. Was God taken by surprise at that? No. They were demonstrating the truth that Jesus was teaching, that all men are sinners, and without him there is only violence and destruction. It's only through Jesus Christ that there is peace and life. See, Jesus was teaching the truth. Jesus was speaking the truth, which showed he was from the Father, because truth is from the Father. Look at verse 32. Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth brings freedom, but deceit brings bondage. You look at somebody who's trying to deceive somebody, trying to get somebody to follow their lies, and those people are continually being brought into bondage. But you see somebody who tells the truth, you see somebody who's only proclaiming the truth, and they're going to encourage freedom and safety and peace. So another way that we show that we know the Father is by speaking the truth. And it's not easy. Oftentimes the world doesn't like to hear the truth. But it shows that we know the Father. It shows that we want to show the Father. The fourth way that we show an indication that we know the Father is in Christ-likeness. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now in this verse, Christ is speaking of the manner in which he would die. He was going to be lifted up on a cross. When they lifted him up, it would prove that he was who he said he claimed to be. It would prove that to them, that he was the Messiah, that he was sent by the Father to die on the cross for the sin of mankind. When we trust Christ as our Savior, when we acknowledge him as the only way to be reconciled to the Father and we receive eternal life, God is lifted up. Christ is lifted up. He is glorified when we trust him as our Savior. What is another way that Christ is lifted up? Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He may be the firstborn among many brethren. When we are conformed to the image of the Christ or the character of Christ, when our life is an accurate reflection of him, he is lifted up. Think of a godly person you know. What caused you to think so highly of that person? If you see that person as a truly godly person, it's because they reflected Christ in their attitudes, in their actions, in their conversation, in their life choices. In every area of their life, they showed Christ. That showed to you that they were a godly person. When we live a life that is like Christ would live it, God is glorified, and others see and know that we are truly a child of God. They know that we know the Father. We are of the Father because we have trusted Christ our Savior, and we're showing that by our lives. So Christ's likeness is another way that we show that we know the Father. And then the fifth reason here this morning, the fifth indication that we show we know the Father is continuing in the Word. Look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What does that mean to continue in God's Word? Let me illustrate it this way. Perhaps you learned to do something a particular way when you're growing up. Maybe in your home, your father or mother taught you how to do something a particular way. But as you get older, as you're in your own home and you learn other things, you see a more efficient, a more effective way to do that. And it's not that the first way was wrong. It's just that you're learning how to do it more efficiently. And you begin to follow that way. You begin to continue in that way. You begin to follow the words of that teacher. You are continuing in their words. Okay, you, for a while, you continued in the words of your first teacher. And what they said was not wrong, but now you're finding another way to do it, a more effective way. And so you're continuing in their words. In our old nature, we were living in lives according to our sin nature. We were living according to our old father. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 paints a very ugly picture of that path we were following. You at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That was our old life. That we are continuing in the words of our old father, the lies, the deceit, the manipulation, all of that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are new creatures. We have a new path. We have a new purpose. We have a new teacher to teach us the things that we ought to do. So how do we show to others that we have a new Father? John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. How do we show that we are of the Father? How do we show it? How do we continue in his word? By abiding in Christ. By following his teaching. By following his principles. If we are following God's word and living our lives according to his principles, we will show that we are Christ's disciples. So those are the first five things that we can show: righteous judgment, our witness, speaking the truth, Christ's likeness, and continuing in his word. Those are the first five things that show us that we know the Father, that show others that we know who Christ is, we're of Christ. We can demonstrate that by our lives. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you have allowed to be recorded so that we can learn from these things. We can learn from the example of Christ. We can learn from his words. We can learn from the things that he taught. We can continue in those things. Help our lives to be a clear reflection of Jesus Christ. Help us to show others Christ so that they can see we know the Father. We have a relationship with you. We thank you for what you will do in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.